I think everyone here knows me, but if you don't, my name is Hans Zanstra. My brother, you all probably know him well, Douglas and his wife Lisa. Amen. Thank God for Doug. Doug is my older brother, just in case you didn't know that. And that's important because, you know what, honestly, if it wasn't for Doug, there's a lot of things that, honestly, I may not be here. That's really the truth. When I was about, I'm trying to remember, I was saved as a really young boy, so I all these things happen at a young age. It's hard for me to remember sometimes, but my brother Doug is 9 years older than me, and when I was just a boy, I was maybe 10 years old, he got me filled with the Holy Ghost in my parents' living room at our house in Oklahoma City on Northwest 56th Street. I'd be like Brother Hagin. I could get all the address in the front bedroom and all those things, but I'm not that good. But anyway, thank God. He prayed with me. I received the Holy Ghost, began to speak with tongues at 10 years old, just before a soccer game. Got filled with the Holy Ghost, talking in other tongues. Amen. And then when I decided to just do my own thing as a teenager, my brother was interceding for me. And thank God for that. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. All right. Well, hallelujah. We've already had church. Amen. As I've said here before, the one thing that God has called me to, and my wife, my family, really, we're called to the continent of Africa. Really, we're called to preach and teach the Word of God there and to make disciples and to develop the church in Africa so that they can be who God's called them to be. So they're not just relying on man or relying on missionaries, but they learn to rely and trust in God for themselves. That's one of the things that God's called us to. Our ministry is called Burning Truth Ministries, and you can follow us at burningtruthafrica.com. There's information about what we're doing there. Hallelujah. So as I was preparing for the service tonight and for what the Lord's going to do, my wife asked me, she says, what are you going to preach on? And I never really know how to answer that question because I might have an idea or direction, but I never really know until you get up here what God is going to do or where the Holy Spirit's going to lead us. And sometimes, even after I get here, I'm not sure, but somehow it all works out. But anyway, what's really in my heart, though, to talk about is understanding and knowing the love of God. We talk a lot about it here, and we've heard Pastor Dave's testimony and that locked door, that behind it, that room, the love of God. But you know, one of the things that in my life that I thought I understood, I thought I knew that God loved me. Because I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up around Christianity. I was born again at 4 years old. So I thought that I knew that God loved me. I sang, Jesus loves me, this I know, from the time that I was old enough to open my mouth. But I found out later that really I didn't know anything about the love of God. I had an inkling, I had a idea, and I would say that there was knowledge, we might call it head knowledge, some type of understanding that God loves me. I was always told that. And I would even say that. But my life was not dictated by the love of God. The things that I did and the way that I responded and the way that I acted when things happened to me didn't portray that love that God had toward me. I didn't really know that. Didn't understand that. I knew that growing up, I was afraid. And in the midst of fear, I didn't know what was fear. It's kind of like being deceived. You're not deceived if you know that you're deceived. So I was living my life as a young boy growing up just really afraid of everything. As a matter of fact, recently, in recent years, I said something to my mother about this. And I said, I was telling her of an incident that I remembered when I was in like the first grade. And I said, you know, I was so afraid. So I believe that maybe a spirit of fear attached itself to me at that time. And she said to me, she says, you know what, hon? She said, when you were born, you screamed in fear when the doctors took you away from me. I don't fully understand that, but I know that I grew up being taught by something other than the love of God. I had the love of God demonstrated to me by other people, but within me there was something that was teaching me something else. And I was afraid to be around other men. I was afraid of anyone in authority. I was afraid to ask any question. I was afraid to do anything. I was afraid. I just thought that maybe I wasn't good enough. I didn't really think I was afraid. I just thought maybe I wasn't good enough. Thought maybe I shouldn't ask those questions. Maybe those people are too important for me to talk to them. And that followed me most of my life. And I didn't know what it was. But in 1995, I was working in Los Angeles, California, and I was installing phones on airplanes for United Airlines. I didn't work for them, but I had the contract to put the phones in on the airplanes, old phones that you stick a credit card in, and they don't have those anymore, but they did at that time. So anyway, I had a job doing that, and it was a contract job. You work so many weeks or months until that's fulfilled, and then you get laid off, and hopefully they hire you someplace else, and you go to another part of the country, and you do that again, and that's the kind of job it was. Well, we were there in California, and I was driving in my car, and I had on a Christian radio station, and they were advertising for Kenneth Hagin's camp meeting in July of 1995. And I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, he says, I want you to go to that meeting. So I thought, well, that's nice, you know, but I'm in Los Angeles, California. That's in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I mean, I was from Tulsa. I had no problem doing that, except I'm working, you know, and they had told us, you know, there was no end in sight per se. Usually they let you know quite a bit ahead of time what's going to happen. So I just said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. But you're going to have to work it out. And I think it was a couple of days later, we walk into the office and the main boss comes in and says, well, in 2 weeks, this contract's up. You guys are going to be released. And it was the last day that we were going to be there was like a Thursday, and the conference started the following Monday. So it gave me enough time to get back to Tulsa and do those things. So when they said that, I'm like, praise the Lord. And everybody's looking at me like I'm an idiot because nobody wants to be laid off. But I knew that God had worked it out. So I came here, went to that camp meeting. And I don't know. I don't believe there's any significance to this. But for some reason, at least in the times that I went, Thursday night seemed to be a night where things happened during the camp meeting. And I don't know why. But anyway, this was a Thursday night, and I was sitting on the floor in the, whatever it's called, the Civic Hall or the Civic Center downtown Tulsa, and I was on the floor. Normally, I didn't get seats on the floor, but somebody offered it to me, and I was sitting there, and they began singing the song, The Glory Is Here. Yes, the glory is here. I'm not going to sing it for you. But he says, you can sense his very presence in the atmosphere. Whatever you need, just reach out and receive and say, it's mine. I take it now. And as they were singing that, I was just reaching up to the Lord. And I look up on the stage, and again, I don't think this was what was really happening. But to me, it looked like Brother Hagin was looking right at me. And I just felt something. I began to shake, and I began to just, I didn't know what was going on. I was trembling. And these ladies around me, they start laying hands on me and all these things. And some gentleman comes up from behind me and he says, "Leave him alone." And he said to me, he says, "Just say yes to God." And I said, "Yes." And as I did, I choked and coughed and it left me. And after the service, that man came to me and he said, "Young man," he said, "I'm a pastor." And he said, "God has delivered you from a spirit of fear this night." He said, and he says, "You've been afraid to do what God has asked you to do because of that spirit. But tonight you're set free." Hallelujah. So supernaturally, God set me free from this spirit of fear. But here's the problem. My whole life up until then, that mindset, that thought, that whatever you want to call it, that spirit was influencing everything that I did. I didn't know it, but it was. And so I was being taught and trained and programmed to respond a certain way to every situation, to respond a certain way to every question, to everything that happened in my life. So even though I was free from fear, the spirit of fear, I still had to train my mind to walk in something else. The Bible says this, that perfect love casts out fear. So in order for me to really learn to walk in God, to even have the ability, the courage, whatever it might you want to call it, to follow God and to follow His Spirit, I had to be filled with something else. Because the spirit of fear may be gone. But just like when you're born again, your spirit changes from darkness to light, but you still have your flesh to deal with. Well, in that situation, that spirit that had attached itself to me was gone, but I still had emotions and other things and strongholds and ideas that I had to deal with and had to fill them with something else so that I would be able to walk after the things that God had given me and the things that He had in store for me. Even though I'd said, "Yes, I'm willing to go," but I still had to be transformed and changed and reprogrammed, if you will, to follow the things of God without fear. So I have a question for you tonight. What can you do to gain the love of God? It's not a trick question. There's really not anything we can do to gain His love. But there's one thing that the Bible tells us. Why is it that we love Him? That's right. Because He first loved us. So it's, in my opinion, it's of the utmost importance to understand that God loves you. Because how are we going to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength? The first commandment, how are you going to do that if you don't know how much He loves you? If the reason we love Him is because He first loved us, then it stands to reason that we need to have a revelation of His love in order to walk in that so that we can love Him. Because there's the conundrum that I was in, the situation I found myself in, is there's nothing I could do to get Him to love me. I was like, because I'm good. I'm a good worker. I've worked hard since I was 12 years old. I had a full-time job. My father worked from the I didn't see him from the time I woke up in the morning until sometimes 9 or 10 o'clock at night. He worked all the time, and he put that work ethic in me. That's a good thing. But in the kingdom of God, and when it comes to understanding God's love and God's grace, works is not the answer. Now, don't get me wrong. It's going to take work. If you're going to follow God, if you think you're not going to do anything, you're mistaken. There's some work to be done, but it's not based on my works. The love of God, and there's no work that I'm ever going to do that's going to cause Him to love me more than He loved me before I ever knew Him. While I was yet a sinner, God loved me. He put me in this position where I'm like, "God, this isn't fair. I can't do anything to get you to love me." I can't do anything to gain your approval. I can't be good enough. I can't, it doesn't matter what I do, I never make it. And see, it wasn't until I came to the end of myself and realized, God, there's nothing I can do to get you to love me. There's nothing I can do. See, that's what changed me when I came to that realization. I cannot do enough to please my Father because He's already pleased with me. He already loved me while I was yet a sinner. If I could sin and He'd love me, then there's nothing I could do to gain that love. Let's just look at a few scriptures to kind of solidify this, to wrap our minds around something and to build our faith a little bit in this truth that God really does love us. And here's the thing I want you to understand, because I grew up hearing God loves the world, for God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. I heard all the scriptures. I listened to the messages most of the time, sometimes. But I did hear it. My parents, they read the Bible every day. After every meal at supper time, we would read the Word of God. And it's a very good practice. It's wonderful. And it was easy for me to go to my neighbor and say, God loves you. I could even go to my sinner neighbor and say, God loves you. And mean it from the bottom of my heart. But for me to stand in front of the mirror and to say, God loves me, that's a different story. See, I know me. I know what I did. I know where I was a few minutes ago. I know what happened last night or last week or whatever. And so it was something that I had to build a foundation within myself using the Word of God, that and understanding that God really does love me. I had to make that simple confession over my life, and I felt like a little child doing it, and it seemed like I should know these things, but it did something. It took time, it took effort, but I continued to say, God loves me. At the end of the day, no matter how my day went, no matter what happened, I could say, God loves me. And at first, it seemed foreign to me. It seemed like it wasn't true. It seemed like I was lying to myself. But the more I said it, the more I began to believe it. And I found scriptures to back that up. And it built a foundation to where now, how can you trust someone if you don't know that they love you? See, I believe that this is a foundational truth that we have to have in our life if we're really going to go where God wants us to go. Because the truth is, if there's any doubt of His love for me, then how can I really trust everything that He's asking me to do? But on the other hand, if I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if I'm truly, fully convinced that God loves me, then I know that there's not anything that He would ask of me that would put me in any type of danger or put me in a place that would cause me harm. So let's look at Romans chapter 5. All right, Romans 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. This is the New King James, by the way. Verse 6, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely For a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In the King James Bible there, it says the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And we're going to look at some other scriptures tonight. And like I've quoted a little bit to you that, you know, we love God because he first loved us. And, you know, we come to the Lord. Really, the Bible even says no one's going to come to Jesus except the Holy Spirit draw him. And so all of this revolves around the Holy Ghost and his work in our life, because he's going to draw us to Christ. We're going to have to receive his love, love him. But at the same time, we're not in a position where we're able to do that. So we need the Holy Spirit to shed that love abroad in our hearts. We need his help so that we can build this foundation. And for my life, one of those key points that really, really helped me was praying in the Holy Ghost and allowing that prayer language, because I didn't know how to pray. I didn't really even know that what I was lacking was the love of God. I didn't really know that I didn't know that God loved me. I thought I knew that. I was told that all my life. But yet, that revelation had not solidified in me. There'd been no foundation there. And so I needed that time praying in the Holy Ghost, allowing these scriptures of truth that said, hey, while I was yet a sinner, I had to meditate on that and think about that and say, you know, there was nothing good in me. Nothing. Nothing that God could even use. And yet, he loved me. While I was yet a sinner. And I had to pray in the Holy Ghost and allow these truths to reprogram my thinking that, hey, you know what? God doesn't love me because I did something good for him today. He doesn't love me because I smiled at my friends and you know, woke up in a good mood and was nice to my brothers and sisters, and which didn't happen very often anyway. But, you know, that wasn't the reason that he loved me. He loved me while I was yet a sinner. He loved me just because I'm me. Just because, really, it's just because he's him. Just because that's who he is. Because God is love. So then we go on to 1 John 4. Starting in verse 1, it says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Let's jump down to verse 7. I'm sorry. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. So when I got to this verse, I said, that's the problem. You know, I knew that I had had fear because I've been delivered from this spirit of fear, but I didn't really understand what was limiting me in my walk with God. I didn't understand why I wasn't able to do certain things, not only in my work with God, but just in functioning in life. Like I said, just approaching certain people. I'll tell you the truth, even today, it's a struggle for me. It's something that I have to guard myself against, and that I have to, on purpose, do things that I normally wouldn't want to do, because I can't allow fear to dictate whether or not I do something. So I still have to watch for that even today. And so I realized when I got to this verse that what I needed was to be perfected in the love of God. I needed that love in my life. I needed that foundation. I needed that understanding. I had to grab a hold of that if I was going to be free from the fear that had been with me for so many years. See, you can be free from a spirit and still walk around with strongholds for the rest of your life. You can be free from a demonic influence and yet still think down a certain pathway, as Pastor David always defined a stronghold being a system of thought empowered by an emotion. So empowered by emotions. So I had this way of doing things and this system of thought in my life that was really empowered and backed by fear. It was backed by torment. You know, it was empowering me to do or not do certain things. So this helped me a little bit to continue confessing and praying, seeking the Lord. But you know, I really got my first revelation about the love of God from the book of Ephesians. When I say a revelation, I mean something beyond mere knowledge. I really came to experience it for myself. Something happened one day as I was meditating and reading through the book of Ephesians. And this, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 3 in a moment. But this was a time in my life, still when I was very young, before I had gray hair, and I was here in Tulsa after that camp meeting, and after a period of time had passed, I was helping a particular ministry in town, and that time I'd never preached before, and I thought it was interesting that the first time that I've ever preached was in 1995, after that camp meeting. But the first time that I preached, my voice was hoarse. I didn't have hardly any voice at all. I was just sucking on lemons all day long, hoping that I would have enough voice to be able to preach that night. Because even though I was only 18 or 19 years old, and even though I had never preached before, I had preached so many times driving down the road, preached so many times to in my own private quarters, that I knew that there was nothing that was going to stop me from getting up to preach that night. And as I had been praying and meditating and reading the book of Ephesians, something happened where I understood something for the first time. So let's look at this. This is a prayer that Paul was praying for the church at Ephesus. We're going to start in verse 14. And this is a spiritual prayer. It's something that we can pray over our own life, over our loved ones, over people that you know, over your enemies, over everyone. And it will help you. Verse 14, it says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now stop there for a minute. That's a tremendous statement. First of all, Paul says this. He said that you might know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. But how in the world can I know something that is beyond knowledge? How can I know that? I'm going to switch over to the King James for a minute. And then he said that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And I thought, this is a pretty important thing. To know the love of God that passes knowledge. And if I can know it, I could be filled with all the fullness of God. Well, the Bible says that God is love. And see, He's not going to love me any more than He loves me right now. So He's not talking about getting God to love me. I can't do anything. He's not talking about being a better Christian, doing more things for God, becoming more righteous. Because God can't love me any more than He loves me right now. So what is it that I need? I need an understanding of the love that He has for me. Because like I said before, it's easy for me to reach out and say, God loves you. I know that, and I'm confident in it. I can say it time and time again. I can encourage you in the love of God, and I can tell you how much He loves you. But it's a whole nother story for me to look at myself and say, God loves me. Because you see, that goes beyond knowledge. I know me. I know the things in my life. I know my faults. I know my shortcomings. But if I can step beyond that, there's an experience in His love where He will take us beyond just mere knowledge, and we'll get to touch that love that He has for us. Because before we can ever have that love flowing through us, before we can ever walk in the fullness of that love walk, we're going to have that love coming to us. We have to receive it. And He said here that you may be able to comprehend with all saints the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ which passes all knowledge, might be filled with all the fullness of God. Then He says, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now, I've heard that scripture, that particular verse, quoted hundreds of times. God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think. Even beyond what you could dream or imagine, God is able to do it. Hallelujah. That's awesome. He is, right? He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Amen. Yet He says, according to the power that works in us. Well, if we look at this in context, what's He praying? He's praying that we might come to comprehend the love of God. That power that works inside of us is that comprehension, that understanding, that experience of God's love to me. When I know that God loves me, then I know that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above, beyond all that I could ask or even think. Because that love is working in me. Not because He loves me more, but because I'm able to receive of that love. I'm able to get beyond my emotions and beyond my thoughts and beyond my imaginations. I can take those things captive and continue in the truth that, yes, God loves me. Why are you able to do what God's called you to do? Because I know that He loves me. And I know that that revelation, that understanding, that experience is grounded and is a foundation in my life that will take me beyond anything that I could ever do. It's going to take me into the places where He has called me to, because it's going to allow Him to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ask or think. Because I know I can't do it. I've got to rely on Him. And in order to rely on Him and trust in Him and understand Him fully, I've got to have that foundation in me that God loves me. Hallelujah. That power, that understanding of His, of the height, the length, the breadth, the depth of His love that I can't possibly even explain to you because it's beyond knowledge. But I can come to comprehend it by His Spirit, because it says, by the Spirit, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by what? The Holy Ghost. So that knowledge, that comprehension doesn't come from man. It doesn't come from information. It comes from revelation. God's Spirit to my spirit. God's Spirit to your spirit. It comes by working these keys that we've been given here at the prayer center. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Meditating, assimilating the Word of God. Fasting. Worship. Spending that time in worship where His presence comes and washes me and takes me beyond my emotions, takes me beyond my understanding, takes me into His presence where I can experience Him for who He is. And if God is love, then I get to experience His love. I get to have a part of who He is. I'm a partaker of His divine nature. I get to walk with Him and talk with Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God loves you. He loves you. Hallelujah. If there's nothing else that you get from tonight, I want you to walk out of here understanding and believing God loves me. Not me, but you. God loves us. He loves me. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Well, see, I believe that the Lord wants me to share a little bit of something else with you tonight. I know that I've been sharing a lot of my testimony, and it seems like we've been hearing a lot of testimonies lately, but for some reason that seems to be something that God wants me to share. And I want you to understand that the only reason that I've been able to do some of the things that I've been able to do and go some of the places I've been able to go is because of that love that God has poured out to me, or I should say the love that I've received, the understanding of that, because of that, and because of the foundation that that laid in my life, I was then willing to step out and say, okay, God, I'll do some of these things that you're asking me to do. And you know, that little tiny bit, and it really was just a tiny bit, a tiny understanding of God's love, that was enough. That all happened before I ever came to the prayer center. Well, before I came full-time to the prayer center, I had come and visited and things, but before I ever really started attending here regularly, I had those experiences. And so some of the things I did, I got some of those little tidbits from Pastor Dave and from different tapes and things like that, but I didn't, it was just enough to cause me to hunger for more of God, for more of Him, and to want to step into all that He had for me. And I believe that it is the beginning place for us. And sometimes, though, we skip some of the basics when we're following God, and we get to a place and we wonder why we're not able to go farther. And sometimes we're not able to go farther because we've skipped some of the basic things that we need to understand in order to walk in the fullness of what God has for us. And one of those basics is simply understanding that God loves me. Just really entering into that. And that's really, you know, there's obviously a more deeper walk in that, because that, I mean, that's where we want to go, where we're walking in the fullness of His love. But I mean, just that basic understanding that God loves me and that He really, really loves me, you know? And so, because though that I had a little taste of that, when I came here and began to do the message and began to walk with God, I experienced some of His grace, some of His anointing, some of His presence in a way that maybe I wouldn't have been able to had I not had any foundation at all. And I think that when I first came here, I came full-time coming here in 1996. With my wife, I just got married. We decided this is our home. We felt like the Lord was telling us this is our home. And immediately, the first thing that we did is we wanted to get involved with something. And I got involved with the outreach ministry at that time. There was a lady here named Pastor Barbara Makowski. Many of you know her. Many of you remember her. She's gone on to be with the Lord. But you know, something that God did for me, before I was married and even after I was married, when I was young in the Lord, for some reason, He always seemed to put a strong woman in my life. Not a romantic type of thing, just someone that was like a mother, like a mentor. And that happened to me several times in my walk with God. And it was interesting because He didn't put necessarily a male for it. I mean, I had Pastor Dave was here and all that, but I mean, I worked very closely with Barbara. And I think one of those reasons is because growing up, I had that fear of authority and fear of authoritative figures. And sometimes it was difficult for me to receive and to really build a strong relationship with other men of God. And now I needed that, and God was going to give me that, and He did give me that over time. But I was able to receive from these strong women of faith. And Barbara instilled some things into me. Now, people will say a lot of things about Barbara because they don't know her. But I knew her. I walked with her. I lived with her. I mean, we were at her house sometimes more than we were at our own house. And, you know, God did a work during that time that molded me. It gave me the ability and the opportunity. I'm sorry, I'm getting emotional here, but it really was a time in my life where I was able to function in the gift and the calling of God in an atmosphere, in a place that was safe, and someone that would say to me, that's not God, if we did something that didn't quite line up right. And in a way that I could receive it and be corrected and walk in love, because of all the things that Barbara did, one thing that she had more than any person that I personally had that kind of relationship is this woman walked in faith. And, you know, I traveled, I had the privilege a couple of times to travel with Barbara. And we went to California, we went to Florida. And when we went to California, now, again, this is a woman that she had a love affair with Jesus Christ. She had a love for God and a love for people that most people don't understand and probably didn't understand if you didn't know her. But she really loved people. And when we were there in California, I saw, and this is no exaggeration, every single person that came to us with a need, physical, emotional, whatever it might be, they received a healing. Every single one. And do you know, I think only about one of them, and there were dozens of people, only one was in a church service. We sat in someone's house, and they would come in one by one, and she would counsel with them and share the love of God with them and say, listen, most of the time, she'd just say, you know, honey, have you forgiven the people that have done this to you? People come in with colon cancer, with someone had cancer in their back, someone had problems with their colon where they couldn't sit for more than 10 or 15 minutes without having to run to the bathroom. And she would just talk to this one lady I was thinking of in particular. And she was telling her all of her problems and all of the things that were going on in her life. And she just said to her, she said, now I've listened to all that you had to say. Now she said, but listen, is there anybody in your life are you holding offense against anyone? Have you been offended? And she's like, no, I don't have any offense at all. She says, well, is there anyone that you haven't forgiven? She says, well, yeah, there's a lot of people I haven't forgiven. And so she began to walk her through that process. And this lady, we sat there and we had talked with her, and before long, several hours had gone by, and she said, you know, I thought you said you couldn't sit for more than 15 minutes. And you know, this woman, she was completely, totally set free. And I had the privilege of watching the love of God in action. I watched it time and time again. We went into a restaurant. This, you'd have to know Barbara. It's just crazy. We went into a restaurant, and there's a man there. They said this man has, this was great. They said this man has kidney problems, or I think kidney failure, and he wasn't expected to live long, and he was there at this restaurant. We just walked in the door, and somebody had told her that. She's like, well, where is he? You know, well, he's sitting over here at the table, and well, let's go pray. They said, well, you can't pray for him here. She says, well, where can we pray? And so they took him over to another room there, and she just walked over there, sat him down in a chair, laid hands on him in the restaurant. The next day, they said he's out mowing his lawn. Hallelujah. The love of God emanated through this woman. Now, you know, people talk about Pastor Dave, you poke him and just love comes out. Now, Barbara, I wouldn't poke her. I'm just telling you. I'm not saying that she don't love you, but I wouldn't poke her. Because she had the kind of love that would kick over the money changer's table and get the whip out and drive it far from you. But, you know, I had the privilege of having a close relationship with her. And she really imparted a lot of wisdom to me. And she understood how to follow the Holy Ghost in her life. She'd be the first to tell you she had made lots of mistakes. Messed up lots of times. But you know, that's the beauty of understanding that God loves you. Because it's His love, it's His power, it's His grace, it's His anointing, it's His calling, it's all about Him. So, you know, get over yourself. Let Him love you. Let Him do His work to you so He can do that work through you. Hallelujah. Because He's got so much for each one of us. He's got so much for us here at the prayer center that we haven't even... I mean, we can only talk about it, but we don't really even know how to describe it yet because we haven't seen it in its fullness. But I'm convinced in my heart that a foundational key to walking in the fullness of God and to seeing this revival come to its fullness is receiving for ourselves, each one of us, that love of God. Letting it be so much a part of us that there's nothing that we can do to shake that. That no matter what happens, we understand God loves me. So that I understand that the only way that God's going to be able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think, according to that power, that revelation, that understanding, that love, when I know, because He says, now unto him who is able, now that I comprehend what is the height, the length, the breadth, the depth of His love, now that I've received it, He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think. Hallelujah. Because that love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. I'm receiving from His nature, who He is. God is love. When we see these, you know, how are we going to get the blind eyes open and the deaf ears open? Well, I mean, we're not going to do it anyway. But it's going to be as we allow that love of God to be poured out through us, to us. Hallelujah. To those around us. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. All right. Glory to God. Did y'all have a good time tonight? Anybody come in? Anybody different now than when they came in? If you're here and you had pain in your body and anything changed, just lift your hand up. Wave at me. Look at that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we glorify you. We glorify you, Jesus. We exalt you. We magnify you tonight, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace, Lord God. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord.